Let us pray. Lord, at this time we ask that you bless the people that are here, bless all of us here in your presence. We ask that you make us aware of your presence. And as we prepare to read your word, we ask that you bless the word, that it become more than just words on paper for us, that it become somehow infused with the gospel message, and that it penetrates our hearts and can change us into the people that you would have us be. We ask that you clear away any distractions that may battle for our attention at this time, and that we can truly focus our thoughts and our hearts on you. Bless this time that we have together in your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand if you are able for the reading of the word. Our scripture this morning comes from the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, verses 1 through 5, and then verses 16 through 20. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king to succeed his father, Amaziah. He rebuilt Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king had slept with his ancestors. Uzziah was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. But when he had become strong, he grew proud to his destruction. For he was false to the Lord his God. And he entered the temple of the Lord to make offering on the altar of incense. But the priest Azariah went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor. They withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to make an offering to the Lord, but for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who are consecrated to make offering. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah was angry. He had a censer in his hand to make offering, and when he became angry with the priest, a leprous disease broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priest in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. When the chief priest Azariah and all the priests looked at him, he was leprous in his forehead. They hurried him out, and he himself hurried to get out, because the Lord had struck him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. With this being 4th of July weekend, I sort of felt like maybe I should do something this week related to our nation and some of the things that have been going on lately. Events in the news that have us upset or rattled or arguing or whatever. And then I also thought that maybe to do that we would need to break away from our series on the obscure kings that we've been doing. But as I looked over this passage and I kept reading it, I realized that this actually is the perfect passage for today. And we'll get to that in a little while. But just to catch up, because it's been a few weeks. We left off our last study in the books of Kings, or the obscure kings, was about Jehu. And if you'll remember, Jehu was a king who the Bible said he did right, he did good, he was looked at as a good king, and he wiped out all the Baal worshippers in Israel, but he failed to take down the high places of worship. He failed to complete the task, and so that became his legacy, as one who did what God appointed him to do, but couldn't see the task all the way through. Now, after Jehu, you go through reading Kings and Chronicles, and you see several more kings did the same thing. Most of them were wicked. Most of them, it says, went the way of Jeroboam, who was the evil king. But then some of them, it says that they were good, but they still didn't complete the job. They still didn't take down the high places of worship. So we're talking today about Uzziah. We've skipped ahead many generations. And we're still at a time in Israel's history and in Judah's history where there is still a lot of false worship going on. And we've had a long line of bad kings. And Uzziah's father comes along, and he was a good king, but he too didn't do everything that the Lord asked. And so here is Uzziah. And you may have noticed that previously I'd been reading from the book of 2 Kings, and today I'm reading from 2 Chronicles. The two books have a lot of overlap. They talk about the same kings. And I chose the one from Chronicles today because it goes into a little bit more detail about what Uzziah did. But Uzziah was by most accounts, a very good king. He reigned 52 years in Judah, which was pretty much unheard of. That was a very long reign for a king. Now, he changed his name. In fact, in the book of 2 Kings, he's called Azariah, which means Yahweh has helped. And then when he takes the throne, he changes his name to Uzziah, which is Yahweh is my strength. And that's why in the two books, he has a different name. It's the same king, but he has a different name in the two books. But he did good. It said that as long as he did what God wanted him to, he prospered. And you can look at his name and tell that he was putting his faith and his trust in God, at least when he took the throne. He was very successful in his military exploits. He recovered Elath, which had been conquered by Edom. He recovered that and restored it. He conquered the Philistines, and that had been a rivalry for many, many generations. And he conquered the Arabites and the Ammonites. So he was very successful in his military exploits. But more than that, he was also very successful from an economic standpoint. He was a farmer at heart. And so what he did was he developed all this land. He developed fields and turned them into vineyards and pastures for livestock. And so the area just started to boom as far as the agricultural industry went. And it created lots of jobs. He erected towers in the fields because other nations were so jealous of what they had going on. They wanted to come in, maybe destroy the crops, the livestock, maybe steal them. And so he had towers erected in the field to protect them. But he was very successful in pretty much everything he did. The military conquests and the economy and the agriculture, everything was going great. And then it says that he got arrogant. He went into the temple and he tried to make a sacrifice that he was not authorized to do. You see, in the Old Testament, the kings and the priests could not be the same people. They were kept separate intentionally. The same thing with the kings and the prophets. The priests and the prophets, they would advise the king. They were God's representatives. And the kings would take care of the nation. They weren't meant to be the same. That role was reserved only for Jesus Christ, who is the only person in Scripture who was both priest and king. But during this time, Uzziah was so arrogant and so prideful, and he had accomplished so much, he felt like he could boldly walk into the temple and do what only the priests were allowed to do, which is to make the sacrifice and burn the incense there at the altar, the holy place where only the priests were to go. Now, he did this, and the 80 priests blocked him. They told him, no, this isn't for you to do. You're overstepping your bounds. And this is very interesting if you think about it. A king that has been so successful for many, many decades, it would have been very easy for those priests to just say, you know what? Let's give him a pass on this. He's done a lot of great things for this country. He's a great king. I mean, his name means God has helped and God is his strength. He obviously loves and follows God, but he can burn a little bit of incense. It's no problem. They could have easily done that. But they drew the line in the sand and they said, no, our allegiance is to God. And God has said that you are not allowed to do this. And of course, he became furious. Now, I think that if he had recognized his error, that would have been it. Might not have even been written down in Scripture. But it says that he became angry. And it doesn't say the Lord struck him with leprosy when he did this thing. It doesn't say the Lord struck him with leprosy when the priest got onto him. It says the Lord struck him with leprosy when he became angry. After he was rebuked, after he was told to turn around and repent, and he became angry, that's when he had to face the consequences. So, this story is interesting. One of those that doesn't get talked about much in Sunday school or church. But what does this have to do with us today? What does this have to do with our country? What does this have to do with 4th of July weekend? What does this have to do with the church? Well, I think there's a very strong parallel between the person of Uzziah and the nation of America. Now, first of all, I said a few weeks back that the kings in Scripture, they were kind of the poster boys for the nation of Israel. So if we read that there's a king who's arrogant, then maybe that's symbolic that the people of Israel were also arrogant. Because leaders take on the personality of the culture. And if you don't think that's true, look at our own leaders. Look at our own politicians in office on both sides. We have elected them there. We have put them there, and they reflect through whatever it is, through corruption, through pride, arrogance, whatever it is, they reflect the culture in America. So Uzziah, if you take the person of Uzziah and you compare him to the culture in America, let's think about it. Uzziah was very successful with his military. And our nation has been very successful as well. Uzziah started off very humble, relying on God as his strength and God as his help. And our country started off the same way. We were one nation under God. We put "In God We Trust" on our money. But Uzziah eventually became very arrogant. He had helped the economy. He had bolstered the economy so much. America, and it's only 200 years, became a leading superpower in the world, economically speaking, politically speaking. So Uzziah became arrogant and thought he could do whatever. And if you were to ask other countries what they think of America, that's kind of the answer you get about us as well. That we are pompous, we are arrogant, we think we're the best in the world. And there's some truth to that. But in this story, I want to relate Uzziah to our nation. And if Uzziah is a parallel to the person of America, then who are the priests? They should be a parallel to the church. The presence there in the midst of it all that stands firm and says, no, this is what God has said. This is what we believe. Now, one thing I want to make clear, the priest did not start calling Uzziah names. They did not start bashing him, arguing with him, all this stuff. They just realized that their allegiance was to God, and they stated as much. And they did it peaceably, and they let God handle the rest. Now, in recent events and the recent Supreme Court decision that was made, I have had to unplug from the internet for a while and social media because of the way everybody just argues and bickers and carries on. And even Christians who are upset about it, who just start calling people names. And this is not representing the kingdom of God. This is not being the presence of Jesus Christ in the world. This is something else totally. This is divisive. What many of us are guilty of doing is divisive, and it stirs the pot more. So how do we find that balance? How do we know when there is a difference in being passive and then being peacemakers? When to stand our ground and when to be ambassadors for peace who know when to speak up? And know when to not speak up. Jesus said to render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and render to God what is God's. We render to God first our hearts, our lives, our allegiance. And after that, we can become the model citizens. Now, don't get me wrong. I love America. I love our country. I love our veterans. I love the freedoms that they have fought for. But we have to realize that we are often guilty of putting this patriotism ahead of everything else. We get drunk on this star-spangled punch where we put God and country on the same pedestal. And as the church, that shouldn't be so. We can be good Americans once we become faithful Christians and followers of Christ. When you sit out there and you look up here, we have the American flag over here, but the Christian flag is to your right. And to have it to the right symbolizes that we recognize we are citizens of that kingdom before we are citizens of America. We pledge allegiance to that flag, and then we can pledge allegiance to this one. Before we claim the eagle as our symbol, we claim the cross. Before we claim the Constitution, we claim the Holy Word of God. And sometimes things politically don't go how we want them to go. Sometimes decisions are made that we don't agree with. But how we react to that, how we handle that, has everything to do with how we can transform the world. You see, our leaders will always reflect the personality of the culture. Before we can get different leaders or better leaders or leaders that we agree with, we have to first work to make our society a better place. We do that by being ambassadors of Jesus Christ, ambassadors of the kingdom, proclaiming the gospel message, not through squabbling and arguing and bickering, not by throwing tantrums and proclaiming sour grapes, but by remembering who we really serve and then seeking to be His presence here in the midst of it all. Uzziah was very arrogant, but the priests were very humble because they knew where their allegiance lied. And they were not going to back down on that. They were not defending the temple for their own honor or for their own glory. They were doing it for God's glory. That's humility. That's how we react to the world around us when it is in turmoil. I know it sounds radical. Sometimes it sounds like it won't even do any good. But it sounds a lot like Jesus. And if we are going to change the world around us, the church has to be the presence of Jesus when everything else is going wrong. Let us pray. Lord, You have given us the privilege of serving You, the privilege of being Your body, Your presence here in the world, the privilege of being a part of Your church and being on Your side of history, which Your Word tells us is the winning side of history. So we ask, Lord, that You make us faithful, that You help us to recognize ourselves as citizens of the kingdom of God, so that we can be faithful and good citizens of the country that we live in. We pray this in Your holy name. Amen.